This is Evolutionary Radio. We are coming at you live from the Evolutionary Radio studios. I am joined by my podcast co-host, as always, Steve Smee. Steve, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, man, tough day, man. Tough day. What do you do when you have a tough day, Trevor? That's a good question.
Well, I got some good news to lighten up your day.
All right, let's hear it.
Okay, so apparently this guy who's, I guess, a regional manager for Coke, longtime listener of the show, he emailed me and he said he's going to try to make Canada Dry the official drink of Evolutionary Radio. So that means lifetime supply of Canada Dry for me, you, and Matt for free.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious, man.
Okay. I mean, yeah, that's cool with me.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm saying we can resell the bottles.
We'll be yeah, because none of us drink pop, so.
Yeah.
I don't know. Or we can, like, we'll give it away on the show or something. So I'm emailing back and forth with him. He's going to talk to his manager about it and see what he can do. But I'm working on getting our new, getting it as an official sponsor, Canada Dry Ginger Ale.
Well, it's good. It's got zero calories, so, you know.
No, it doesn't. Canada Dry Ginger Ale is full of sugar, man.
But it's got aspartame as the sweetener.
They might have a diet version. I don't know. I know their original is full of sugar.
Oh, okay. No, the one I my girlfriend drinks is zero calories, but yeah, it has aspartame, so.
Okay. I don't drink pop. I just stick with water. But anyways, the second question I had for you is, how much do you know about the NHL, Steve?
I know a little bit, yeah.
Does Winnipeg have a shot at winning the playoffs?
Yeah, they have a good team. Mm-hmm. I think they're the second best team in the West.
Because I don't really watch sports, but I went and watched the game on Friday night with a couple buddies. Mm-hmm. And we have, like, the most diehard fans in the world, man. Like, it was mayhem. Like, every time it scored, it was, like, I've never seen people that excited. Like, we literally block off 20 streets downtown so we can have a street party during each game. That's how crazy our fans are.
Yeah, I believe it.
I wasn't that into it, but, like, everyone else, it was, like, the most important thing in the world. But, okay, we got six good topics. Our first topic is a listener email. Basically, just going to read it off. He sent it on my Instagram. Anyone who wants to send messages, you can either email me them or you can just give them to me on Instagram. My Instagram is my first and last name put together. So you can just go ahead and send me a DM there. So, here we go. I'm 6'5", 210 pounds, and 32 years old. I define myself as skinny fat at the moment. I was in pretty decent shape about 12 months ago, but this year has been rough. I'm trying to get in a place where I'm more confident this summer and looking good for my wedding at the end of July. I'm working out with a good trainer 3 days a week. Starting tomorrow, I'll also do yoga 2 days a week and my own stuff 2 days a week. At work, a work at the gym. I don't know what that means. Oh, I think a week at the gym. So I'll also do yoga 2 days a week and my own stuff 2 days a week. So he's going to work out with the trainer 3 days a week, do yoga 2 days a week and his own stuff 2 days a week at the gym.
What's his goals here?
I eat paleo most of the time, but don't necessarily count macros or anything. Do you have any advice on what a good SARM stack would be? So 6'5", 210 pounds, 32 years old. He's skinny fat, and he's trying to get in shape for his wedding at the end of July. So right now it's mid-April, March, April, May, June. So he's basically got 3 months. I'll talk about diet and training, and then I'll let you talk about SARM, Steve. So the first thing that kind of was a red flag for me is he says, I eat paleo most of the time, but don't necessarily count macros or anything. That, okay, so here's the problem is that you can get fat off healthy food. I mean, things like almonds, natural peanut butter, coconut oil, all those things are healthy food choices, but their calories really add up. You know, a lot of people eating paleo, the problem is that, you know, they're eating lots and lots of red meat, lots of whole eggs, lots of bacon, you know, lots of foods that are paleo, but they're very, very high calories. So the first thing I would say is I would download a fitness application like MyFitnessPal on your phone. Go and buy yourself a food scale. You don't have to get anything fancy. You know, just go to Walmart or London Drugs or Shoppers Drug Mart or something like that. Pick up a food scale for like $20 and at least for a couple days, record and weigh everything you eat so you get an idea of what your calorie intake is. Go online, Google total daily expenditure estimate, TDEE calculator, and figure out how many calories per day you burn. If you don't want to overcomplicate things, take your body weight and times it by 15. So he said he's 210 pounds. That would be 3,200 calories per day. I would shoot for around 2,500 calories per day. So you want to be about 700 calories per day less than what you eat. Your training seems good. 3 days per week in the gym, 2 days of yoga, 2 days on your own. The 2 days on your own, I would maybe do some ab work, maybe some high intensity interval training for cardio. Basically just keep moving, burn some calories. Overall, everything seems pretty good, pretty decent layout, but I would really encourage you to make yourself a meal plan or record everything you eat each day so you know how many calories you're consuming. Just eating clean really isn't a smart idea. Steve, what are your thoughts?
Yeah. Here's the thing. This is what I would do in this situation. The SARMs stack is a wonderful thing, but it's not going to help you as much as you would like until you actually get your diet under control. So there's three factors when it comes to weight loss. There's going to be diet, there's going to be exercise, and there's going to be genetics. I mean, if you've been fat all your life and you're like 35 years old and you're like, man, I want to get skinny, it's not going to be easy. I mean, your body gets used to being fat. Your body gets used to where you're at. So it can be done, but I'm saying not everybody genetically is capable of losing weight like so easily as maybe you would, Trevor, you know? So you got to keep that in mind. There are ways to lose weight. And the thing is, counting calories is a good first step, but it may not work for a lot of people because those apps can be 20, 30, 40% off. Your calories that you're counting can be 20% off. The packaged foods by law can be up to 20% off. So, you know, sometimes we're off. My strategy to losing weight, if you're trying to lose weight, you've got to feel hungry during the day. If every time you feel hungry, you run to your fridge or you go to a restaurant or something and eat something, you're not going to lose weight. You've got to feel hungry. You got to feel the hunger and you have to go to sleep feeling hungry. You cannot just every time you feel, oh, I want to eat something, go and eat something. You're never going to lose weight that way. So it's a total change of the way we've always been taught to eat. Because when we were kids, our parents would be like, oh, are you hungry? Yeah, I'm hungry. And they'd fix us something and give it to us. That's the way we grew up. Because we had a lot of food growing up, you know, our generations, especially your generation, Trevor. But the reality is that's not the correct thing to do. And that's why so many kids are fat. That's why so many of us are fat as adults. So you got to fix that. The genetics thing, you can work on that. You're not going to be Arnold one day, but it doesn't mean you still can't improve yourself and be the best you can be. And as far as a SARM stack, very simple, 20 milligrams a day carterine and something like 25 or 50 milligrams a day of
Ostrine. That's a really good stack. That's going to help you with endurance, fat loss, and it's going to help prevent muscle wasting while you're in a deficit. So that's it. I mean, that's the best way for you to do it.
Okay, great advice. I said Carterin and Ostrine, or Carterin and S4, so very similar to what Steve said. I just want to talk about hunger a little bit. I don't know why it is, but as a society, we're scared to be hungry. I think it's the food companies who, you know, are trying to tell us, you know, with all these like advertisements, oh, if you're hungry, you're going to die, you know, eat a Snickers bar. Hunger, as long as it's tolerable hunger, you know, you don't want it to be unbearable, but tolerable hunger is a good thing. It means your metabolism's running, it means you're burning fat. So as long as it doesn't feel like, you know, like you want to eat a piece of leather, you're so hungry, like you'd eat your shoe. If you're a little bit hungry, that's a good thing. That's a sign of a healthy metabolism. So like Steve said, if you're doing everything we suggested and, you know, you're eating under your calorie expenditure and you're a little bit hungry, it's a good thing. Don't be scared of hunger. You're not going to die, I promise. So our second question, we got another email question. This guy basically is 3 weeks into his cycle. His buddy gave him 50 20 milligram tablets of Anavar, and he's asking whether he should add it into his cycle. So Steve, I will let you go and then I will give my thoughts. So basically, he's doing a 10-week cycle. He's on week three. His buddy gave him 50 20 milligram Anavar tabs, and he's wondering if he should throw that into his cycle.
Yeah, so if you do throw it in, you're going to notice a little boost in strength, and you're going to notice more pumps for sure, because Anavar is great with pumps. So those are the two things you're going to notice with it. It's not going to burn fat. Anavar doesn't burn fat like we read a lot. There was some study done on rodents or something that showed Anavar burned fat. Now everybody thinks Anavar burns fat, but it was a flawed study. If you actually read the study, it was like obese rats who started exercising. So you can kind of set these studies up to show whatever you want. So like every other fat person now comes on the forum and they're like, oh, I want to run Anavar, burns fat. And then we tell them this, and then we never hear from them again because they run the Anavar and they don't get anywhere. So it's like the first question, because they never fix their diet. They think they can just keep eating what they're eating and they're going to lose fat like magic. So that's all the Anavar is going to do for you. It's just adding more steroids. It's going to give you more pumps. Are pumps nice? They can be in the gym. I like the pump. I like to get that nice pump in the gym. There's nothing better than working your calves or working your biceps and getting that fucking crazy pump that you get. But pumps can be counterproductive too. If you want to do cardio, it's going to be hard. I mean, if I try to run while I'm on Anavar, back pumps get really, really bad on it. So it can be counterproductive if you like to do a lot of active types of things. So those are the pros and cons of doing it.
My personal opinion is, you know, Anavar is a pretty mild steroid, especially if you're already running a pretty decent steroid stack. I would save it, man. Like 20 milligrams of Anavar per day for 6 weeks, a man's not going to notice much from. It's going to add liver toxicity to your cycle. I mean, if you're going to run Anavar, I would wait until you have enough to run it properly and do, you know, 40, 50, 60 milligrams for 6 to 8 weeks. So I would hold on to that Anavar, and then on your next cycle, order another pack of Anavar. And then, you know, if you want to use Anavar, use it as a kickstart or finisher to your cycle and run it properly. You know, I just don't really see you getting much benefit or even noticing 20 milligrams of Anavar per day. And it's just going to add some liver toxicity and you might get some lethargy from it. Our third topic is insomnia. I got another email question. Basically, it was a female. She is a CrossFit athlete. She didn't give me too much info about her diet or training or anything like that, but she said she's a loyal listener of the show, and she's wondering if me and Steve have any tips for insomnia. So, Steve, I know you wrote a really good in-depth article on that. I will let you start this topic off, and then I will finish it up.
Okay, so, I mean, the sad thing is that everybody's always worried about, you know, what can I take for recovery? Should I have protein powder? Should I have carbs? Should I have steak? Whatever, post-workout. The number one thing that's going to help you recover, and we're going to get into this later in the show, is sleep. And unfortunately for a lot of people, they don't get enough. For some reason in today's society, we work crazy hours. We like to go out with our friends. We like to work from home, like in our spare time. We've got kids to deal with. Got to take the kids to soccer practice. We overburden ourselves so much that we don't even have time to sleep. It's like we're killing ourselves. And then to top it off, we get up early to drive 45 minutes an hour to work and deal with the traffic. So we did this to ourselves. And the sad part is, that, and you got a lot of you guys, I'm going to break your hearts, and I'll probably break your heart, Trevor, when I say this, that if you don't get a good night's sleep, you cannot make that back. You can sort of help, but you will never make it all the way back. Even, let's say you get 2 hours of sleep, you have a really tough night, you only get 2 hours of sleep. The next day, you say, okay, I'm going to get 10 hours of sleep to try to make that up, or 11 hours of sleep. It doesn't work that way. So losing sleep because you can't sleep or you have insomnia will have long-term and short-term effects, and it's impossible to make it all back. So during the week, if you're only getting like 3 or 4 hours of sleep a week, and then on the weekends you want to like get like 12 hours of sleep because you want to sleep in, it doesn't work like that. You're not making back your sleep. So that's the sad part. So this is what I recommend you do. You have to set time to sleep, and you have to realize if you got to get up at 5 a.m., you need to go to bed a little earlier. So you need to kind of train yourself to do that. One of the big ways to do this is avoiding caffeine. Because a lot of people can't sleep. They can't get to sleep because they're drinking caffeine. So you got to cut out the caffeine. The caffeine is disturbing your sleep. Anything that has caffeine in it, any type of food can have caffeine, like chocolate, even tea. A lot of people don't realize that tea has caffeine. Unless this says caffeine-free tea, it's going to have caffeine. So that can affect your sleep. You have to prepare your mind for sleep. You need to get off the electronics before bed. You need to shut off the lights before bed, and you have to kind of relax and de-stress yourself. Do some stretching, do some meditation, stuff like that. Play some soft music, maybe take a warm shower or bath, kind of relax before bed. This way you'll be out like a light. But another tip, this is really good, and we learned this from a prior podcast, is they have glasses that will actually block blue light. So if you get blue blocker glasses, they only cost $9 or $10 on Amazon. You can get the cheap ones. They don't look good, but they work. And the blue blockers will allow you to do what me and Trevor are doing right now, which is use electronics, you know, close to bed. Because we're doing this podcast, it's like 8 or 9 at night. So I'm probably going to go to bed another hour. So I'm using my blue blocker glasses, and I'm blocking the blue from the screen. The blue is what you see when you look up in the sky during the day. That's what tells us our melatonin levels to go down. So we want our melatonin levels to go up. So blocking the blue light will cause melatonin levels to go up. So those are some tips. If you go on evolutionary.org, sleep, Google that, you'll find my full article, which I give even more tips. What else you got, Trevor?
So right now it's slowly becoming spring in Winnipeg. So what happens is all the snow melts and it makes mud everywhere. I normally walk in the shortcut. It's like a trail to the university, but right now it's so muddy. I walked along the paved path, which takes a little bit longer, but I did that because I didn't want to get my shoes all muddy and everything. While I was walking to school today, I noticed one thing. What was on every single corner, pretty much? What do you think, Steve?
Starbucks.
Starbucks and pharmacies. What does that tell you about the health of our society? We are all sleep deprived and overdrugged. And it's kind of like robbing Peter to pay Paul, right? It's like you don't get a good night's sleep, so you're tired, so you drink a bunch of stimulants like caffeine, and then you can't sleep. So then the next day you're tired, so you drink more stimulant. It's a snowball effect. So, you know, caffeine in moderation is fine, but we're using way, way too much of it. We're dependent on it. Caffeine should be, you know, a once in a time pick me up. It shouldn't be, oh, I need 3 cups of coffee just to function. So if the person who sent this email, if you're a caffeine junkie, if you know you're a coffee addict, you're going to have to slowly wean yourself off of it and you'll feel better in the long run. You know, it's going to be tough. It's going to be like quitting smoking. It's going to be like quitting anything. You're going to get withdrawal. You're going to get headaches. You're going to be irritable. You're going to be cranky. But once you kick that addiction, you'll be better off in the long run. It's kind of like you talk to someone who used to smoke. They'll say that they hated quitting, but now that they've officially quit, it's the best decision they ever made. Our next topic, this is a conversation I was having with one of my clients. He hired me for a weight loss transformation. Things are going fantastic. I mean, he looks like a different person. He's lost so much weight. But he commented that I've lost a little bit of strength on my squat. Am I losing muscle? So I think he used to be able to squat, you know, 300 pounds, and now he's squatting like 280. So not a lot of strength, just a little bit. So strength when dieting and muscle loss. I'll go first, and Steve, I'll let you finish. This is basically what I told the guy. I said, well, a couple things. First of all, you're eating in a calorie deficit, so you're not fully glycogenated. You're not fully fueled for your workouts. I bet you if we took a week off of dieting, we put your calories back to maintenance or above maintenance for a week, you would blow past your old strength, You know, you'd be even stronger than you were before. So that's one thing to consider. Second, you also have to remember, we've lost about 6 inches off your waist. You're able to squat way deeper now than you were before because your range of motion is way further. So I wouldn't even say you've lost any strength. I would just say that now you're squatting so much deeper. You've added, you know, like 4 inches to your range of motion. You've just made the lift that much harder for yourself because you lost all that weight on your midsection. So that was what I told the guy. Steve, what are your thoughts on muscle loss and losing strength?
Yeah, it's just something you're going to have to accept. There's a reason that powerlifting tournaments, powerlifting meets, they have weight classes for a reason. And when I competed as a powerlifter, if I didn't make weight, I'd have to compete. It was every 10 pounds, I'd be a weight class. So if I didn't make weight for some reason, I'd have to compete in the weight class above me and I would be screwed. Because now I'm competing against guys who weigh 8-9 pounds more than me because I'm barely in their weight class and they've got 8-9 pounds on me. So the idea is you're in your weight class, but you're at the very top. This way you have that 8-9 pound edge of body weight. This way you can, you know, obviously you'd be stronger. So that is definitely a factor. In your case, gosh, you lost all that, you know, fat off your stomach. Dude, you should be proud of that. So who cares if you can't lift as much now? I mean, I don't understand it. I'm not impressed when I see these guys, you know, the perma bulkers walking around the gym. They got that belt. They got that big gut hanging over their belt. They're like 5'6", 200 30 pounds, you know, all they do is eat. They eat a pre-workout, they eat a post-workout, they do nothing but eat and drink beer, and they're strong. But are they healthy? No, their heart's probably like about to explode. They're not in good shape. And, you know, they're just fat and strong. I mean, what's the point of doing that? Do you really think that, you know, you look good in the mirror doing that? I mean, so I'd be proud of the weight you lost and just accept that you're going to have to take a step back, but you still can be strong as fuck for your size. And that is something you should aim for. So be as strong as you can for your size. Don't worry at trying to compete against yourself after losing all that weight.
I think that's a great point. And even not just about the physique aspect of it, but also the health aspect of it. I mean, having a large waist puts you at significant risk for a lot of different health issues, type 2 diabetes, certain types of cancer. So I'm proud of you, man. And don't, again, who really cares how much you can lift? no girl cares about how much you lift. They care what you look like. They care what your health is like. And that's ultimately why you're lifting. I mean, we all like to lift heavy. I mean, it's a guy thing. We like to slap the 45 pounds on the leg press or the squat rack or whatever. But ultimately what really matters is how you feel, how you function, how you look. The actual weightlifting is just a tool, you know, to sculpt your body and to improve your health. So our next topic is post-workout carb consumption, post-workout soreness, post-workout lactic acid. So Steve, there's a lot of misinformation about what actually causes post-workout soreness. I'll let you clear that all up, and then I'll talk about carb consumption post-workout.
Yeah, I actually want to talk about that as well. So, but let me start with the soreness. Here's the thing, our bodies are amazing things, right? And what happens is if your body's not used to something and you do it, your body's going to react. Your body's going to freak out and your body's going to release a lot of inflammation to repair what it thinks is this car accident you just put it through. So that's why when you do a new workout or you just start working out or something, if you feel like you got hit by a truck, because your body thinks you got hit by a truck, it doesn't know. And then you do the same workout 2 months later and you don't have any soreness. You know, it's like, wow. Well, our bodies, it's called conditioning, and our bodies are amazing at doing that. So if you get conditioned, that will not become an issue. So the soreness is basically you get those muscle fibers cut up, your body releases the inflammation to try to repair it. So it's not a bad thing. So this idea that you have to like flush out your soreness and you have to take a bunch of drugs to get rid of your soreness, don't listen. That's just drug companies trying to sell more drugs. It's a good thing. Being sore is not a bad thing. But how do we combat the soreness? The soreness can be combated, again, by sleep. That's the best way. When you're in a deep sleep, your body is repairing itself. So your body can repair itself. It can rebuild itself, regenerate, and come back stronger that way. So the post-workout carbs, ironically, eating while you're sore can actually slow down recovery, because that's something extra now your body has to do. It has to work at digesting the food that you're eating. It's the same thing when you're sick. Doctors will tell you, oh, you need to eat. You need to get a lot of vitamin C. You need to eat a bunch of oranges. You need to do this. You need that. But they don't tell you the truth. The truth is you need to rest when you're sick. That's when your body actually repairs itself. And why put your body through more work and make it digest more food? So if you're trying to bulk and put on weight, absolutely, post-workout carbs, you need it. Trevor, in your situation, you're a very lean guy. Post-workout carbs, perfectly fine, beneficial. But if you are like me and your goal is health and you want to just lean up, you know, you don't need the carbs post-workout. You can just go home, eat a well-balanced meal. You don't have to go and just like start slamming a bunch of fruit and sweet potatoes and rice and stuff, you know? So that's the way it is. It's a little more complicated than what I'm explaining. Maybe Trevor, you can kind of give your opinion.
So I'll drop some science bombs. You actually do not need protein to blunt catabolism and increase muscle protein synthesis post-workout. All you need is whey protein. Well, or some protein. You need some protein source after your workout to blunt the muscle catabolism that occurred during your workout and increase muscle protein synthesis. So like Steve said, carbs are not necessary, but there's a difference between what's necessary and what's optimal. So if your goal is to increase strength, increase muscle, you definitely want to include carbs in your post-workout meal because they're very anabolic, and also your glycogen storage enzymes are very, very high post-workout. So the likelihood of those carbs being stored as body fat are next to none. If you're timing your carbs, you want to be eating them primarily before and after your workout. People overcomplicate this stuff. Carbs, what are carbs? Your body's fast-acting energy source. What is fat? Your body's long-term energy source. What is protein? Protein is what you are made of. Fast-acting energy source. When would you want to be eating that? before and after you're gonna exercise, right? It makes sense. You eat, it's kind of like your car. If you're about to go on a road trip, you fill up your car with gas, you go on your road trip, your car is empty with gas, then you fill it back up. Don't overcomplicate this stuff, guys. We get so many questions on the board. When should I eat my carbs? Like, when should I time them? If you're on a low carb diet and you want to know when to best incorporate them, before your workout and after your workout, you have the least chance of those carbs being stored as body fat then. And also your body will use those carbs as energy. It's going to give you a better workout. You're going to get a better pump. And it's also going to prevent muscle loss because carbs are very anabolic. In particular, carbs releasing insulin. Our last topic is a relationship topic, and that is dating applications like Tinder. So Steve, I've had a lot of friends suggest to me, get Tinder. I've never did it just because the whole idea of it kind of like freaks me out. What are your thoughts? You're the relationship expert here. What are your thoughts on, you know, like Tinder, Plenty of Fish, Match? I'm sure there's a bunch of other dating sites. Those are just the ones I know off the top of my head.
Your generation, Trevor, is a little different than mine. In your generation, a lot of the girls that you're looking for use those apps. So if you're looking to meet single women, you know, you've got to utilize everything that you can. But you have to also realize that Tinder is not something that you may get frustrated with using something like Tinder for this reason. You know, let's say you meet, you know, someone on there, you message her, you agree to meet up, you go on a date. By the time the date is over and she goes home, there's probably 10, 15, 20 guys, if she's even moderately attractive, 10, 15, 20 guys that are messaging her in that time frame. So it really speeds up dating too much. And it kind of makes it seem like, you know, she can kind of blow you off and she can kind of treat you like dirt because she's got 10, 15, 20 other guys messaging her. Half those guys have girlfriends or are married or whatever, but she doesn't know that. But all the attention she's getting from the men are bombarding her, is overwhelming her. I actually dated a girl who had a dating website profile. And she actually went on there. We had been dating maybe for a month. And she went on her email. She had 50 emails that day from guys. Just on that, from that one dating website. 50 emails. And some of these guys, it's the same guy emailing her two or three times. Like in the same week. Like guys will email the same girl over and over. So basically guys are using these dating websites and dating apps to bombard hundreds of women with the hopes that they can get a few dates out of it. And that's the problem with it. So for me, I feel you, you know, it's one of those things that just don't get your hopes too much up. You know, I'm sure there are success stories from, you know, these dating apps and dating websites, but don't get your hopes up too much from them because, like I said, the women are getting bombarded with so many fucking desperate guys nonstop. A lot of these guys, like I said, they're married. They have girlfriends already, but she doesn't know that. They'll go out with them and then later they'll find out, yeah, the person's married. But the guys are just looking to get laid, so they don't care anyway. So it's one of those situations where the competition is very, very rough on these apps. You're talking about 10 to 1 ratio of men to women. So it's tough. But yeah, I mean, utilize it. Just don't expect too much out of it, man. And do it other ways. Meet women in person, through your activities, through your, you know, you're into church, whatever you're into, any type of hobby. You can meet women through that. Yoga classes are a good place to meet women, the gym, et cetera, grocery store.
I've never downloaded Tinder, and it was mainly for that reason. It just seems so artificial. You know, like you'll go through 300 profiles. You're like, no, 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 yes, yes, no, 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 yes, yes, no, no. And then you have like 50 messages to sift through. Like how can you even give someone a chance realistically, right? When you're like 50 messages and all they say is like, hey, you're cute. What are you taking at the university? Or what are you studying? And like, you know what I mean? Like, that's why I never downloaded it. I got a question for you though, Steve. So let's say there's a cute girl at the gym. Let's say, you know, you've kind of been like making eyes at each other during each other's workouts. You notice that she's done her workout and she's stretching. How would you go up and, you know, ask her, hey, would you like to go for a cup of coffee sometime?
I wouldn't be that quick at the gym, because you got to remember, she's, you know, the gym is like a place where guys are always checking out women. She probably already feels creeped out already. But I would just go up and start talking to her, make some small talk, ask her, you know, hey, yeah, what are you drinking? You know, she's got something in her, you know, water bottle. Just tell, yeah, I'm just drinking some water. I mix in some this cardio flex stuff with it. So make small talk. And then next time, talk to her again and introduce yourself, you know, ask her her name, say your name.
Drinking cardio flex, I'd marry her.
But I get to know her name. And then she'll give you signals she's interested. You know, women are good with that. Like, women will give you the spit. Like, when I used to talk to women when I was dating, I would talk to women and they'd hit me with, yeah, my boyfriend, blah, blah, blah. They'll bring up a boyfriend. So that pretty much means I'm not interested. So women, they're very clever with that. So I would do that. And then maybe the third or fourth time, then be like, hey, you want to, when you're finished with your workout, you want to go grab, you know, a drink, like, you know, a smoothie or coffee or whatever. And then if she says no, then no big deal, move on. And if she says yes, then, you know, that's it. You got a date. So I go for it, man. Nothing to be scared of.
Ask her what she's drinking during her workout. She says Gatorade, and you just like turn around and walk away midsection.
I mean, just, you know, just anything, man. I mean, just be like, yeah, you know, what are you, I saw you doing some stretches. Are you into yoga? Just make small talk, you know? And if she seems like you're irritating her, then take the hint, you know? So give it a couple chances though, because, you know, women sometimes they get intimidated at the gym dealing with guys, and, you know, so give her a little bit of a chance. And then the third time you talk to her, second time, you know, exchange names. And then the third time you can ask her out. Third time's a charm.
This has been another really good episode of Evolutionary Radio. Tomorrow night I'm going to be watching the Minnesota-Winnipeg game. So make sure to cheer us on, Steve. We're up 2-1.
Thought you were an Edmonton fan. Now you're a Winnipeg fan.
Well, I live in Winnipeg, so I kind of have to become a Winnipeg. I don't know. Like, I honestly don't really care. The only reason I watch is just to stay relevant, because it's all people talk about.
Yeah. So I'm just messing with you because I'm giving you a hard time for being a bandwagon fan.
Oh, I'm a total bandwagon. I'm the first to admit I'm a bandwagon fan. If I buy a jersey, it'll just be so I can fit in at the university, because everyone else is wearing one. I'm not sure what it is. It seems like people like messaging me on Instagram their questions. That's totally cool. My Instagram is just my first and my last name together. So that's Trevor, T-R-E-V-O-R, last name Kouritzin, K-O-U-R-I-T-Z-I-N. Keep the questions coming. You know, keep them coming, and me and Steve will keep answering them. For your host, Trevor Kouritzin, and for my co-host, Steve Smee, this has been another episode of Evolutionary Radio. Live your life, look good doing it. Thanks for listening.
Mm-hmm.